thank you for framing it as a regional challenge. And I think it dovetails nicely with what Frieda said, because Frieda said people are being displaced from East Portland as East Portland changes. So the question is, if they move to Troutdale or Rockwood, or if they move to East County beyond the Portland border, or if they switch sides of the river and head out to Beaverton and other places, how do we make sure there is a safe and decent and affordable place for them? So you're just one member of the Metro Council. But if you could be king for a day, what's your preferred path forward for bringing the region more dynamically into this conversation?
Well, I want to say that the entire Metro Council has supported this strategy to really evaluate resource options moving forward, and that's been a big step that we've been working for a long time. And I think we need a resource initiative on the ballot. I'd love to see something as soon as 2018. I don't think there's anything stopping us from doing something as soon as 2018. But I want the community to be part of the solution. Yes, are there many significant resource-generating options? Yes. We need the community, other leaders from other counties to participate in identifying, you know, and create that menu of options and bring those leaders into the process and have them start putting some pressure on Metro to say, this is the solution we want. And we need Portland and Welcome Home and our other community partners to be putting some of that pressure on the rest of the region and saying, look, we are doing everything we can, and it's not enough. We're going to continue to do a lot more, but we've got to have the whole region on board.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz?
Councillor Chase and Commissioner Fish, you and I haven't had our meeting since the last time I went to the Metro Policy Advisory Committee, which the Mayor has graciously allowed me to be on. Councillor Chase, I really appreciate your bringing this subject to the committee, which has representation from all three counties and the 24 cities. It's the first time in my memory that people from Washington County have agreed that we have a regional problem, and I think it's very much due to your leadership and your guidance of your staff there. So I'm actively excited about going to these meetings now, because there's sharing of information and there's a recognition that we are all in this together. So I just wanted to thank you for that. And actually, at the last meeting, I had the very memorable first-time experience of having the chair of Washington County agree with the suggestion that I made. So I think we're on a good path, and it's in large part due to you, Councillor Chase. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Councillor, if I could add to the commentary, yesterday I actually started my day at a 7 a.m. breakfast in Western Hillsboro. And people may wonder, well, why was the mayor of Portland speaking to a group of people on the far side of Hillsboro? And it's exactly because of this issue. The same trends that are influencing people chasing housing affordability east from Portland are also taking place to the west of us, where you're seeing a lot of gentrification, new business development, new companies being located, and prices beginning to escalate. You're seeing the same dynamic where people are being moved, of lower income, being moved into areas that have less public transit, and therefore it's adding to some of the congestion and other issues that they're having. They're overcrowding in certain school districts and certain catchments. We have to start addressing this as a regional problem. And that's going to require a real shift in the way we think about these social problems. It is very easy for people to look at the city of Portland and say, wow, Portland really struggles with housing issues, homelessness issues, addiction issues, mental health issues, transportation issues, fill in the blank issues. But the reality is, we need support from the surrounding region for us to be able to effectively address these issues. And I was actually very heartened that a group of prominent officials, including Mayor Steve Galloway from Hillsboro, they agree that, you know, they're seeing this regional imperative on all of these issues now. I don't think Portland's going to continue to be an island with respect to these issues, and I appreciate you and your colleagues' leadership on this going forward. We're going to need it. And we're ready to work with you.
Thank you. And I do think those leaders around the region are starting to really understand the affordable housing challenge. And now's our opportunity to give them some choices to get behind and really make a difference.
You bet. It's good to see you.
Mayor, thank you. As we welcome Mark Jolin, can we just acknowledge what a terrific job Mark and Heather Lyons did on TV the other night, defending the city's position? Fantastic work.
Thank you.
I thought he did a fantastic job, and I already told him that he was particularly effective because he memorized the polling data and was actually able to articulate what the polling data was saying as opposed to the narrative that some people wanted to project. So I thought he did a great job. Welcome.
Thank you. Mayor and Commissioners, I'm Mark Joel, and I am the Director of the City-County Joint Office of Homeless Services, and I just wanted to take a moment to start by thanking all of those community members who made this bond possible. To thank you, Mayor, your team, and the team at Portland Housing Bureau for the process that they led to get us to this framework. I'm, of course, particularly appreciative of the focus in the framework on people experiencing homelessness and at risk of homelessness, and in particular, people from communities of color who we know are significantly overrepresented in our homeless population. We're really enthusiastic about the focus on family-sized units because we see hundreds and hundreds of people and families in our shelters every night, and we know that hundreds more are doubled up in unsafe conditions. We need those larger units in our community. We're also especially excited about the 300 units of permanent supportive housing that are contemplated in this framework. You know from our last point in time count that the chronically homeless population was the fastest growing population in our community, a 24% increase over 2 years. That increase accounted for most of the increase we saw in our community in homelessness overall. For that population, the combination of deeply affordable housing with support services is often the only path off the streets in a sustainable way. We also know in our office that the bond is only providing for the housing portion of the costs associated with supportive housing. And that's why, as was mentioned earlier, our office is committed to continuing to work with the Housing Bureau to identify the resources that are needed to provide the ongoing services that will turn that affordable housing into supportive housing. We look forward to being a full partner with the Housing Bureau going forward on the implementation of this framework. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Next three, please.
Our Ted Gilbert, Sarah Jonitis, and Dan Valeri.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and County Commissioners. Excuse me. For the record, my name is Sarah Jonitis, and I'm the Director of Social Responsibility at New Seasons Market. I'm here today as a member of the business community and as a member of the Welcome Home Coalition. And first and foremost, I want to thank City Council for your continued support for increasing our supply of safe, stable, and affordable housing. New Seasons was a proud supporter of this historic housing bond. Our business model was built on the idea that there's a fundamental link between the health of businesses and the health of our communities. There's an interdependence and a responsibility that we have as businesses to help ensure that our communities can thrive. Our current housing affordability crisis threatens the resiliency of our communities and the vibrancy of our city. It's a problem that touches all of us and that we need to solve together. We are very grateful for Council's leadership and for the collaborative efforts of the Bond Stakeholder Advisory Group and the Portland Housing Bureau staff that has enabled our city to set an example for how to address a regional housing crisis. It's my belief that the Welcome Home Coalition stands ready and committed to continuing to work collaboratively to advance strategies that bring more dollars to our region for affordable housing, especially for communities of color. We believe that the rigorous, deliberate stakeholder approach that you've led will truly leverage fully the bond investments to create housing for our most vulnerable families and individuals, balanced across all sectors of our city, while at the same time advancing racial equity and preventing displacement. So we're proud to be here today to celebrate this accomplishment. Thank you again for setting the vision and for shepherding this historic investment in our community.
Thank you, and thanks for your support, and thanks for being here. Thanks for your leadership. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Ted Gilbert, Mayor, Commissioners, I have put my feedback and suggestions in writing. There is one element that I'd like to emphasize, so if I may, I'll just read you an excerpt. The city and Portland Housing Bureau are already faced with some structural limitations on the execution of this bond, not of their making. these being restrictions in existing state laws which prevent them from fully deploying their capital as the private sector would do in order to maximize impact. To me, this makes it even more imperative to do all that is within the bounds of safety and soundness, as well as legality, to maximize results and to use all the tools at your disposal. There is one tool that is alluded to in the framework plan, though not explicitly detailed, that could make a difference in product volume, efficiency, and cost effectiveness. This is the mechanism of turnkey development. This approach, in numerous variations, is frequently employed in the private sector. Under the current law, the City of Portland, through the Housing Bureau, must become the fee simple owner of the finished housing. Utilizing for-profit, nonprofit, and community development corporations with the needed knowledge, experience, and financial capacity to provide some or all of the facets of development, including land acquisition and its funding, funding of pre-development costs, including entitlements, would be a wise use of public resources, monetary and human. PHB staff or an owner's representative could provide oversight during the process. The finished product would be delivered for PHB ownership once completed, free of any liens or encumbrances. There are numerous facets that can be included in a turnkey development agreement, including offloading construction cost risk and interest rate risk onto the turnkey developer. All of the construction screens that are desired, for example, minority hiring, prevailing wage, and green building, can be incorporated. In summary, the public can leverage their substantial yet precious bond capital with private sector capital, along with the latter's market knowledge and experience, while at the same time mitigating the public's risk. It can be used for new construction and acquisition rehab. In my view, this is good business judgment and good public policy. I sincerely hope that you'll take advantage of this tool. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted. Good afternoon.
Hello, Mayor Wheeler, Council Commissioners. For the record, my name is Dan Valliere, CEO at REACH Community Development. REACH is a member of Welcome Home Coalition. We'd like to thank the City Council for continued support for increasing our affordable housing stock and for this unprecedented opportunity implementing the bond, and appreciate the Stakeholder Advisory Group a lot for all the time they put into it. And appreciate the clear statement of focus, particularly the advancement of racial equity and promoting greater community benefit. This is on target and a hopeful sign. Today, I just want to highlight one area of concern in the framework, even though largely obviously supporting it, and that is the section on development, operation, and services. I believe that, and it actually sort of relates, didn't realize what we were testifying on, it kind of relates to the PowerPoint, that it alludes to some things, but there's not a lot of clarity on the anticipated roles of community partners, whether that be nonprofit developers, whether that be community-oriented for-profit developers. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, being more clear on what are the anticipated roles of community partners. It could also be service providers. And I think going forward, that's something we should really continue to define. There's going to be opportunity for proposals or for ideas to be submitted, but for partners to not have some clarity on examples of those roles, it makes it difficult to know what's being sought. It could be things, you know, hiring partners as fee developers to develop a city-owned project. It could be to sell land. It could be to do turnkey development. It could be to hire partners to perform asset management or property management or resident services. There are many different roles we could play. So being more clear about some of those roles, which ones are the highest priority that are needed the most by the city, that will be that'd be good clarity. So I just offer that. And again, I believe this point about clarity of roles is particularly important if we want to achieve the racial equity and community benefit aspect of this, because many community partners have deep experience in the community and can leverage relationships and insight by being engaged directly in the implementation. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, all three of you. Commissioner Fritz.
Well, I was just going to say, Mayor, that at the end of all testimony, I'd like Kurt Krieger's opinion, because from what the way I'm reading the guidelines for development, it doesn't preclude turnkey, but that's certainly something that I hope we'll be looking at. So thank you very much for testifying on it.
Very good. Thank you. Next three, please.
Are Nick Sovey, Lightning, and Carrie Lyons.
Hello, Nick. You want to start us off?
I will.
Thank you.
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for the chance to testify. My name is Nick Sovey. I'm Executive Director of Rhodes Community Development, member of the EPAP Housing Subcommittee, and I've also been on the Welcome Home Steering Committee since its inception. And like a lot of people here, I've knocked on a lot of doors, and it's really exciting to get to this point. So I support the framework. The city and Portland Housing Bureau have really stepped up in a big way to deliver this invaluable resource. Want to focus on a few points. One is just to emphasize the geography that the bond investment should be spread throughout the city. I think folks would like to see that, and East Portland really needs that kind of investment. PHB is making increased investment in East Portland. We'd want to see that continue, and I think there's many opportunities in East Portland, including relatively affordable land, existing housing stock, and at-risk renters. The second point is scale. I think that not all of the bond investment should be large 100-plus unit projects. A mix of scale achieves more effective service delivery and makes it possible to serve more neighborhoods. I think it's also better to prevent displacement. Then I'd echo some previous points about encouraging PHB to partner with the nonprofit affordable housing community to develop and manage bond projects. CDCs have the capacity to develop and operate these projects. We have a long track record and existing relationships in the neighborhoods and with service providers. So thank you for taking the time to get this right, and I really support this framework going forward.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good afternoon. So Mayor Wheeler, city councilors and friends and colleagues here today, my name is Carrie Lyons, and I'm the new director of the Welcome Home Coalition. I'm primarily here today to say thank you. A year and 2 days ago, my friend and colleague Justin Burry sat in front of you and said that the city needed to take bold and courageous action to solve this housing crisis. And in that year, that is exactly what you have done. Thank you for setting an example of innovation, taking risk, and creating needed solutions to build more housing within our region. I also want on this historic day to recognize everyone in this audience who took the time to knock on doors, to make phone calls, and dedicate tireless nights and weekends to ensuring that this would happen. We're grateful for their energy. And I think it's important during the middle of a housing crisis to celebrate wins. It's a very trauma-informed approach to recognize good moments. With that said, I want to also thank the Portland Housing Bureau, specifically Jennifer, Michelle, and Shannon. This process was one that was not purely transactional. We were not there just to provide input as a checkbox. It was transformational. We took words, we took language, and we eliminated it because folks didn't agree with it. And that is a very transformational process when it comes to stakeholder engagement. The City of Portland is going in the right direction, maintaining longevity and permanent covenants on communities and affordable housing. As we implement the bond framework, we want to encourage the city to continually consider engaging impacted communities in the decisions about where they would like to live. Passing the bond implementation framework in new areas of high opportunity while maintaining geographic diversity throughout the city will decrease the risk of communities being displaced. We also recommend the council consider various housing types when preserving buildings and purchasing land, for example, mobile homes, and we suggest setting aside partial funds for purchasing land for mobile home parks to prevent displacement. The coalition is looking forward to hearing periodic updates, continuing our strong partnership with the City of Portland. Mayor Wheeler, I'm happy to hear you use the words regional imperative. The Welcome Home Coalition is now a regional effort, and we're here to work and partner with you to create changes and build more housing within Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah County. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate your leadership. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Now, Commissioner Salzman, I'll say it to you again. You got out of your seat and put this together. I sat in front of you and said, you know, Mayor Ed Lee out of San Francisco is doing these bonds. Why haven't we done that in Portland ever before? You got out of your seat and put it together. It would not have been put together if you didn't do it, period. Now, I'm going to watch this very close on the outcome, and it's going to fall on you, Mayor Wheeler. You're in the seat now, and we're going to see what you're going to do. As far as on Portland Housing Bureau, Kurt Krieger, very impressive. Very impressive to have someone sit up here and say, I want these performance audits. I want these financial audits. I want to know what we're going to talk about to the auditors and make sure they go over everything on this. As the public, you couldn't have said it any better. That's what we want to hear. Full transparency. Great work. To Mr. Ted Gilbert, I absolutely agree with you. From my position on this bond, I want to see development. I want to see jobs created. I want to see the most volume of units possible put together. Everything Mr. Gilbert stated, I absolutely agree with. Again, I have a problem about purchasing seasoned units. I do not want the city competing with the local investors out there for those type of units. You need to build new. This needs to be your inventory. Don't compete with the private sector for the seasoned units. That will drive up rents, drive up prices. I sold commercial real estate, was in the business for over 15 years, and trust me, I know every investor in here, from Mr. Gilbert from the Envoy and every investor from Jordan Snitzer in this city. And let me tell you something. You do not want to compete against the private sector for seasoned units. Big mistake. Build new, create jobs, buy the materials in the area. It's the best thing that will ever happen for this city. Hit a good number, have good family size units. And again, to you, Commissioner Saltzman, this is your legacy. Congratulations. I don't know why you threw in the towel, because I think you would have easily won. But congratulations and enjoy your retirement when you decide to. Thank you.
Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are Richard L. Meyer, Sumitra Chetri, and Emily Berndt.
Good afternoon, Richard. Do you want to go ahead and start while they're making their way up?
My name is Richard L. Meyer. Ted Wheeler is not a moron, as is Donald Trump. Neither is he a sociopath who compulsively lies about facts, policy, everything, like Donald Trump. Nevertheless, Ted Wheeler continues to mislead the public about his policy of targeted, unlimited neighborhood concentration of public housing and denies them access to meaningful, accurate, complete, and timely public housing statistical data, which is what allows Wheeler to load the neighborhoods of his choice with up to 100% public housing clients without being noticed or held accountable. My Portsmouth neighborhood has the highest number of public housing clients in any neighborhood in Portland. Nevertheless, Ted Wheeler is loading another 14 public housing units into Portsmouth. When will he stop overloading my neighborhood with public housing clients? At 50%, 75%, 95%? While my Portsmouth neighborhood has greater than 30% public housing clients, Ted Wheeler's neighborhood has 0% public housing clients. If Wheeler collected public housing statistical data from the Housing Bureau and the Public Housing Authority of Multnomah County, we would find that the neighborhoods of most city commissioners also have 0% public housing clients. This is known as politically self-interested economic segregation. Without meaningful, accurate, complete, and timely public housing statistical data, Ted Wheeler can only make housing policy decisions as his predecessors, Charlie Hale, Sam Adams, Tom Potter, and Vera Katz did, by self-inflicted ignorance, political convenience, and extortion. Wheeler is aided and abetted by the City Club of Portland, the Portland Business Alliance, the leadership of every neighborhood association in Multnomah County, the nonprofit groups that make a living on public housing taxpayer dollars, and local religious institutions, who all have given silent approval to Wheeler's discredited and abhorrent public housing policy. When it comes to housing policy, Ted Wheeler has chosen the politically easy path by following the NIMBY economic segregationists rather than leading his constituency toward a transparent, data-based, defensible road of equitable distribution of public housing. And so it goes.
Thank you, Mr. Allmeyer.
Good afternoon. Richard, we missed you.
Well, thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
This is a first for me, I think.
The first for you and the mayor. So.
Oh.
Well, folks, don't forget, I had a prior life prior to sitting in this chair. I'm well acquainted with Mr. Allmeyer.
You were building up to this moment, Ted. You were building to this moment.
And please give your partner my regards. It's good to see you, Richard. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, my name is Sumitra, and I currently work with IRCO Asian Family Center with community, a very diverse community, people of color, immigrants, and refugee community, and I'm also here representing Welcome Home Coalition. As I was writing my testimony, I tried to draw a lot of statistical data and all that, but I figured that I'm not expert in housing policy. So today I'm going to share the experience that our community is facing, specifically immigrants and refugee community, because of housing shortage. One family that we worked, family of five, they were living in two-bedroom apartments, and they couldn't afford to live in the apartment anymore, so they had to move out. So they couldn't find any affordable. Both their parents worked like 12, 13 hours a day, and they worked really hard to put food in the table. But they couldn't afford to rent two-bedroom apartments with their three kids. So they had to look for other apartments, and they couldn't find it. And eventually, they had to go live with their other family members, and 10 family members lived in two-bedroom apartments. You can imagine what that is like. And when they were moving in with their parents, other family members, their kids had to move to school. They had to figure out new transportation to get to the jobs. And this housing shortage is a real thing. When you think about families, when you think about children, when you think about our community members who can't really find affordable housing, even though they work a lot and they're taxpayer, right? They're working a lot to contribute to community, but because they can't find a place to stay and where they call home, for themselves to be home, it's really difficult for us, like a community leaders, or you know, someone who works for a nonprofit, and we feel really helpless because we have no resources for them to help, right? We call like, you know, dozen apartments, we call so many affordable housing places, but there's no units available for people to be part of it. So having more affordable housing, especially in out of Southeast Portland, will be very useful. And then those families who work hard, who contribute to the society, can actually call, you know, stay in the apartments, and their kids can go to school. They wanted to do it, so their kids don't have to move to school every couple of months, right? Because there's no, the apartment, the rent is just going up again, like every couple of months, and so they have to move out from one apartment to another, and that affects their kids' schools, their jobs, and all aspects of life. So I also want to thank you, everyone, mayors and commissioner, for working hard to ensure that we get more affordable housing in the city.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi. Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, my name is Emily Behrens, and I'm the Director of Partnerships for 211 Info. And 211 Info, we are a nonprofit agency that serves Oregon and Southwest Washington to provide community resources and referral. Last year, we had over 700,000 contacts, and that is people calling us, texting us, emailing us, or utilizing different technology platforms to search for services. So I'm here today to talk to you about housing, but as a member of the Welcome Home Coalition, we appreciate what you have done, and I'm here to thank you for that. But also wanting to talk about 2-in-1 info, we partner with many stakeholders statewide to provide data and trends about who is accessing or who is in need of services by calling us and utilizing our services. So this is a housing report. This is our most recent housing report for Multnomah County. And as you can see, that one of the top referrals is housing. And under that is a breakdown of services. So top request is rent assistance, then community shelters, transitional housing, so forth and so on, as you can see down. And also on the next couple of pages, you will notice we ask many different demographic questions of our callers. And you can see on page 3, 36% of those who identified their race as African American or Black were in need of rent assistance. And so really here to provide that information for you. Then the next pages, you can look at the breakdown of the zip codes, who's calling us and accessing services and what their needs are. 2-in-1, we are a point of entry for community services and community members. 75% of our callers are below the federal poverty level. So as you would imagine, we are making many different referrals to community resources. Top needs are housing, energy, food, and shelter. With housing, we are hearing more and more from callers who are doubling up, tripling up their families. People who have had unexpected bills, new bills, then in return they cannot pay their rent. And rent has increased. We are hearing that from a lot of callers. But what we are hearing is that people are wanting to stay in the catchment areas where their children are going to schools and having to move out and just really kind of here to say thank you. And thank you for the board framework, but also here to show you what we are hearing.
Very good. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Thanks,
yes,
all three of you.
Thank you for your service, too.
Next three, please.
Are Margaret Bax, Stuart Emmon, and Tanya Wolfersberger.
Very good. Margaret, you want to start?
Mayor, can I just ask a question real
Certainly.
Quick? Could you tell us about your badge and where I can get one?
Oh, one of these.
We're outside.
I feel left out.
You can get one from Monique at the Welcome Home Coalition.
Okay. I will. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Margaret Bax, retired housing policy manager for the City of Portland and former emergency room nurse. I was also a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. I want to thank you for allowing me and other members of the community to provide input on the bond implementation framework. We learned a lot from each other and about the people in our community who are usually left out of decision-making, including those who are in desperate need of safe, affordable housing. A significant challenge for this stakeholder advisory group was making responsible recommendations regarding the bond without knowing the city's overall housing strategy or plan. You know, what the city's housing priorities are, what resources you have to address them, et cetera. It became clear that there isn't one yet. I believe that we as a community need to develop a clear strategic housing plan that sets priorities of what we intend to do over the next 3, 5, 10 years, whatever range you all choose to address. This should include specific targets and goals for the populations to be housed and include income level and number of units by size. This plan should consider all resources, the money, land, tax credits, vouchers, etc., that are available, and a strategy for maximal leveraging of all of the public and private resources. It is appropriate for the city to provide the leadership for this effort as you control most of the local housing financial resources and you have the political mandate. However, the city does not need to, or should it, do this alone. please involve real, meaningful community input from the people needing the housing and those who actually deliver the housing and the services necessary for them to remain stable in homes. Portland has an impressive array of local community-based nonprofit housing providers who have been serving our community for decades. Most have received national recognition for successful, innovative, and cost-effective programs. They are extremely valuable partners with deep connections in our neighborhoods, the business community, and service providers. Just yesterday, there were over 800 people attended Ed Blackburn's retirement lunch. They were current and former staff, volunteers, board members, neighbors, contractors, business reps, hospital, and other service providers. These people reflect deep partnerships and relationships that have been developed and nurtured over many years. I saw people there who I hadn't seen in years come out to honor and celebrate Ed and Central City Concerns' work. Each of our nonprofit housing providers has...
Go ahead, Margaret. You're almost
done. Each of these nonprofit CDCs has these broad-based community partnerships, longtime supporters, and they are all working every single day to provide housing and the necessary services to the most vulnerable people in our city. In my opinion, these CDCs, along with Home Forward, should be much more involved in the city's planning, building, operating, and managing of the housing developed with the bond and with the other city resources. The Policy Council of Oregon On should be used to identify specific strategies to get the most out of the housing bond resources. The SAG group did not take a look at development strategies or those things. We focused on priority communities, location, and that was all very valuable, but we did not get to our charge was not included, it did not include, and we did not get to talk about some specific strategies for really getting the most out of the resources. So I really want to push you to push your staff to be as flexible and creative as possible to get the most leverage out of these bonds, use these community resources to get the most out of all of our resources and house the most people. City can't come close to solving our homeless crisis alone. Please reach out to and involve the community more. The Bond Stakeholder Advisory Group was a great effort. Please do more. And we've been the most successful in this community when we have been inclusive and worked together. Thank you again for allowing me to participate and for your time today and for allowing me to go a little bit over. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's excellent testimony. We appreciate it. And, in fact, we are going through an internal exercise where this is completely germane. So I wanted you to keep going a little bit. Thanks, Margaret. And we'll
thank
be calling
you
on you again. Thank you for all of your help thus far.
Go rattle the rafters.
No, Stuart, would you like to, oh, sorry.
He's going to pass the mic to me
very
first.
Good. Excellent.
Gentleman
either
that
way.
He is. I'm Tanya Wolfersberger. I am with Housing Oregon, formerly Oregon Opportunity Network. I am here as a member of the Welcome Home Coalition. And just easily, I want to just share my appreciation for what City Council is doing in support of this framework, in support of the bond, also PHB's work in moving this process forward, particularly in their commitment to using a racial equity lens and making sure that location and community serves are a priority within those decision-making frameworks. I also wanted to just echo what Margaret was saying and to just really encourage you to take advantage of the expertise within our community, within our nonprofit housing developer community. There are a lot of bright, very well-experienced, innovative people working on housing who have been working in housing for decades. So please do not overlook that expertise within your community. I would also say to keep challenging yourselves and pushing yourselves to make sure that you're connecting with the people who are going to be living in that housing, because at the end of the day, it's always about the people living in the housing, and they should take priority on those choices. So, you know, I think you're also in an auspicious place, because as a statewide member organization, our members outside of the City of Portland will be looking to what the city does as an example and how you're utilizing this unique resource that has come at your doorstep, and we're all going to be anxiously awaiting the success so other jurisdictions might have an opportunity to to replicate that system. So thank you. Stay strong, stay courageous.
Very good, and thank you. And I just want to underscore the two points you made because I agree with both of them. Number one, engaging and leveraging what already exists in the community. I agree with you. There's a lot of expertise and knowledge out there. And number two, engaging with the community that's directly impacted by these efforts. So on both fronts, I want you to know we're in philosophical alignment. And thank you for your leadership. Stuart, you get the last word on this panel.
Thank you. And I'll follow up with that and say that our startup community, entrepreneur community, has a lot of ideas about innovation. When we did Case on Chaco Haas, we were looking at innovation in housing to look at speeding up production and lowering unit cost. And the RFP process from the Housing Bureau didn't really look into ways that we could utilize what we learned on that project and go into second and third projects up to scale. There needs to be a way to do that so we can really work on lowering unit costs. Right now, our bond is, I believe, $198,000 per unit. Can we get that down? The other thing I want to talk about, a couple things, speed. The RFP process should be designed to speed production of projects. I think our Caisson, back to Caisson, it was about, I don't know, 2.5 years, 3 years to get that project online. We ought to think about getting projects online much faster. At BDS, I think we ought to have a freeway through BDS for these projects. There should be a concierge service. There should be somebody working through planning, and we should just do whatever we can to get them through BDS immediately. And obviously working with state and other funders to streamline the process. So we have 4,000 homeless people, 1,600 unsheltered people. In this bond, we have 600 units of 0 to 30. Can we use innovation to raise that number? There will continue to be hundreds of tents in this city, on our streets, after this bond is completed. And I have a real problem with that. I think all of us have a real problem with that. So I think alongside this bond, we ought to implement another plan to bring on the other units needed to get everybody off of our streets. I wrote an editorial. Some of you probably read it. And everybody, some people said, oh, you're crazy. You can't do this in 2 years. Back to private industry. There are people who do top-down approaches. They sound impossible in the beginning, and they make them happen. And if they don't make them happen, they go out of business. So I think we ought to bring the private sector in. We ought to bring innovators in and take a look at this problem holistically and work to a solution as rapidly as possible. Let's surprise the voters. Let's impress the voters. Thank you.
Stuart, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So my recollection is that the housing development that you referenced in Lentz was assembled over a weekend.
Yeah.
So when we had all those prefab units that were shipped up from outside of Salem.
Yes, yes.
It was assembled in a weekend.
Yes.
And what you said in your testimony is very compelling to me, that we were test driving an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they were beautiful units.
Thanks.
I mean, they were.
You and I went in them.
I
Thanks.
Was ready to move in. I mean, they were beautiful. And the finishes were beautiful. But the other part of that story is they were made in Oregon.
Yes.
So displaced people displaced in the timber industry and other kinds of things were involved in making these units, and they were shipped up I-5, assembled in a weekend. The point that you just made in your testimony is that we haven't really tested the true benefits of that kind of modular housing because we've never done it to scale.
Correct.
So let me ask you the mother of all leading questions. Are you suggesting that either in one of our urban renewal districts or as part of our request for proposals on this bond, that we frame an opportunity for someone to come to us and show us what to scale would actually look like using modular housing?
Yes, I am.
That's why I said it's another leading questions, because I agree with you on this.
I mean, it doesn't have to be specifically modular, but something that is innovative, that really, and also figuring out what happens in the second and third iteration of that. But we need to think differently about our housing. We need to get more people housed, and we have to bring in more innovation in. And so, absolutely, we ought to be doing that. King County's doing it right now. They have an RFP out for modular housing. So we should be doing it here.
Thank you.
Commissioner Udaley.
I just want to speak to the BDS issue.
Yes, sure.
Because we really have devoted an extraordinary amount of time and resources to to working out some of the issues with the Bureau, from updating the software to working with all the permitting bureaus to uncork those bottlenecks and streamline the price process. We're absolutely prioritizing affordable housing, filling our vacancies at the Bureau because our staff is stretched so thin. And we are adding back at least the small business concierge. So for some of the small-time operators, there will be that kind of assistance that you're talking about, and I'm certainly interested in considering another level of assistance for affordable housing developers in general.
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Commissioner.
One more word on the modular housing, because I agree with you. I actually think it's an exciting opportunity. And this is far from the old days of something that looks like it belongs on the back of a truck. There are some really impressive designers and architects who have completely reinvented what that modular housing can be and how it can look. And we are actually already in conversations with landowners and developers to potentially bring a project like that to scale. There's some big names that are very interested in that here locally. The more the merrier. As you've heard many, many people testify, this is going to have to be an all-hands-on-deck effort. And that's the theme I'm hearing today, and I couldn't agree more.
So, Mayor.
Yes, Commissioner Fish.
Music to my ears. But the only way we're going to test innovation is if we pick a project, set the parameters, and then challenge the community to come in with the best answers to that. It can't be a boutique thing, because that takes us back to the old days of wanting to do a Frank Gehry project as a showcase. And you actually end up spending a lot of money. I hope the vision is to set the marker for the kind of volume you want and the kind of quality, and then see what the marketplace responds. Because whether it's a Habitat-type housing from Montreal, whether it's a – I mean, there's a zillion ways you could do it. What you demonstrated in the Native American housing in Lentz is that you don't have to sacrifice quality. In fact, the quality was extraordinary. You had more choices for things like windows and light and air. But it brought the price down. It brought the price down without compromising on any of the values that are baked into this report.
And if I could just add, I just got back from Vancouver, BC, at a modular conference, and they just put up a 40-unit modular project, and they have a goal of 600 units. So they're doing it in Vancouver.
Thank you.
And I went to visit it. It was really fun. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, all three of you. We appreciate it. Next three, please.
Are Sahan McKelvey, Ron Peterson, and Randy Rappaport.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Council Commissioners. My name is Sahan McKelvey, and I'm a member of the executive team at Self Enhancement Inc., SCI, and also here as a member of the Welcome Home Coalition Steering Committee. SCI did not participate in the initial stakeholder advisory group that helped to craft this current framework, but as a current member of the Welcome Home Coalition, we are committed to continuing to work with the city and with Multnomah County to advance solutions that bring additional revenue for affordable housing and specifically for communities of color. We appreciate the council's commitment to addressing the growing housing crisis and also appreciate the specific lens of racial equity that has been used to develop the current framework. We understand that this has been, and will continue to be a very difficult task. We also understand that addressing the housing crisis through a lens of restorative justice is a complicated and time-consuming task. As a participant in the Welcome Home Coalition, SCI is committed to working towards solutions that our community can see working immediately. And we will do our part, everything that we can, to ensure that tangible progress is being made, even within the time-consuming process that will take place through the multi-year facilitation of this bond measure. Additionally, as we continue to focus on prioritizing restorative justice and racial equity, SCI will be emphasizing through our role with the Welcome Home Coalition, as well as through our role as a voice for our community, that the African-American community needs to be given realistic options to access affordable housing that is acquired or developed through this bond in North and Northeast neighborhoods that so many of our community have been displaced from. We understand that this bond is not a vehicle to completely reverse the effects of displacement and gentrification that has taken place in our traditional community neighborhoods, but we do want to do what we can to ensure that displaced African Americans have options to return when possible, and that will be in addition to the stated goals in the bond framework to provide accessible and affordable housing in Portland neighborhoods such as David Douglas in East County, where many communities of color currently reside. So, in conclusion, SEI just wants to reiterate our support in the work that lies ahead for all of us as we work together to ensure that we get this right. And we also want to ensure that we express appreciation for the work that's been done to this point. So we want to say thank you to the stakeholder advisory group. We want to say thank you to this body for being able to see this through. And with that said, let's get ready, roll up our sleeves, and work together to get this done.
Right on. Thanks, Sahan. Good afternoon.
Hi. I think he's supposed to be next.
Sorry. Go
All right.
Ahead.
Wait,
very good.
Do you? Would you? I want to.
No.
Do you
sorry.
Would you like to go,
go ahead.
You want?
You sure?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
All right. Okay. So, President, are you the president of the council?
Madam President, to you.
Madam President. Love that.
She's been waiting to say that to someone.
That's from like that show. One of the stars lives here. Do you know that?
What? No.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about it in the future. But my name's Randy Rappaport, and I'm with Fox and Moose Developers. It's been a underground in the best of ways because it can gather information, in a stealth kind of, so it kind of can make decisions that are maybe more from like 1,000 feet in the air. So I wanted to just I'll read my thing. Okay. It is more likely that if this bond will be successful, if this bond is received well, this bond resource is a drop in the bucket of increasing need. I actually think that in the sense of marginal statistics, as we've seen with the increasing need in homeless services, that the need may actually increase as time goes on, as costs, rents go up faster than median family incomes. Mm-hmm. And that may be even more powerful for those below AMI 80, and probably more gains power as you work your way down to 30. And then the other, below 30, it's different because of other subsidies, perhaps. For every unit you fund, there's demand for, I estimate, 50 more. And that fits in with my prior comment. We should make sure that the geographic mix of units is outside of URAs. There have been arguments about, which I think is the approach and goal, because there have been arguments that you don't want to put all of your affordable housing in, say, an area that is received so much of it, which the URAs have been funded to. Is that correct?
The way I read this document, Randy, there would be a priority for non-URAs.
That's how I read it.
We've already made the investment in
right.
the 15%, and there's lots of areas that don't have affordable housing, so there would be
necessarily
right. a priority for those areas.
I agree. Okay. I'm almost there. Let's see. I think that there should be a two-pronged approach here, as you'll be voting on today. First, you should look at strategic acquisitions of existing housing units purchased with the bond funds. That means being very mindful of cost-benefit analyses around buying existing units versus building of new units. That's a kind of a complex. Can I keep going for a minute? One more?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the first time we've met, Mayor. I'm happy to meet you, and congratulations.
Yeah, okay, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, turnkey housing units should also be developed, which will actually increase the supply of housing in the area. Purchasing existing units alone does not increase overall supply. Another point of importance regarding the mayor's commitment to ecology, purchasing existing housing units is more expensive to maintain as well, nor is it nearly as ecologically efficient. All that said, strategically purchasing existing and developing new housing units together is the best way to go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor. My name is Ron Peterson, and I have a question for Commissioner Fish. Is there any possibility, or are they still, is City Council working towards the spot over at 3rd and Hoyt?
I don't know, sir. We can find out and get you an answer before you leave today.
Okay. I agree. A lot of the housing needs to be modular, and it's not going to be easy because there are going to be a lot of zoning laws that will need to be changed. I was with TPI a long time ago, and I saw it was pretty effective in most assets, most ways, but it wasn't necessarily an asset to the city itself. Sustainability, I really believe the best way to go would be either stick houses, little tiny houses, or modular houses. It's like when they built the new center over by the TriMet, not TriMet, but the Greyhound and the, what is it, the train station. Sorry about that. I was not thrilled with CCC at that point in time, and so I had to put forth the reminder that Portland had actually kicked out CCC at one point. Trying to think on how... I really don't believe that putting a housing unit with 200 beds in Northwest is going to be... Because the people that have businesses, small businesses around Northwest Portland, they're really in disagreement. They don't like the idea because they think it's going to be too close and too many people, and it's going to be a jumbled mess. As I stated at the other meetings, it's going to be a magnet for all the homeless people, which is going to be a disaster in the Northwest area. I really think that MACG, MAG, is something that I've been going to from time to time. My pastor is actually in charge of the Milwaukee area, and so I've been going to that. And I think they have some really good ideas there. But I really believe, because they're trying to put together and get the zoning changed, and we've been talking with Congressman Marge Schrader, and she's done a lot of really good work for us, and we're trying to get everything switched around so that the zoning is correct so we can go ahead and put up the tiny houses. And I think the modular houses here in Portland would be a good thing. A business city or a business government combination is actually going to be the best benefit, I feel, for the city. It's going to work out the best because you'll have the business side and the government side working hand in hand in order to help coordinate everything that needs to get done. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ron, Randy, Sahan, thank you, all three of you, for your testimony. Next three, please.
The last two I show signed up are Garrison Creamer and Kelly Haynes.
You got it. They should name it after another.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Garrison Creamer here. I am a freelance infrastructural consultant. 10 years ago, I graduated from FSU with an international affairs degree.
I stayed at an eco hostel in Peru, right on the coast, surrounded by the desert. And they were growing food. And it was a great little tiny home community. I ended up snapping my ACL playing a soccer game. And then I flew to Panama. My tent was on my bag. They stole it at the airport. I was very upset because, you know, this tent was